Welcome back to the How We Rise Leadership Podcast. I'm Alicia Reese, and I'm still so very honored to host season two with Claudia Chan. And now this season, I still get this distinct pleasure to drive into the mission of the Leadership Podcast, which is to empower you to rise, to become the leader that both your destiny and your humanity is calling you to be. For our second episode of this season, we are going to talk about building community from home. As we know, our lives have completely changed, and many of us are at home now. And so what we want to make sure that we are doing is giving you not only the opportunity, but the resources that you have to be able to still continue to build community at home. Because no matter who you are, belonging is an innate need. Every person on the planet has a feeling and needs to feel as though they belong. And not only do they have the feeling and need to feel as though they belong, but every person is extraordinary. But not enough of us have tapped into our personal power, because there's absolutely no denying that people do drive change. But Claudia, how do we galvanize and build the community that's required to lead change while still being physically apart?
Yeah, so I love the fact that we're talking about community today, because it's so, so critical and important in a time like now, where COVID-19 and coronavirus has taken over our world and kept us at home. So where I want to start is pausing and really spending time with realizing and defining how important community actually is in our lives. But we forget that life is meant to do with other people. Like, we're meant to do life with others. We're not meant to do life alone. And even if COVID-19 wasn't happening right now, I think many people still don't cultivate that community and as much as they could, because it's such a huge part of how we can thrive to our highest potential and how we can make impact, how we can live extraordinary lives. So much community is such a massive part of that. So the first piece is really just understanding how critically important, and that human beings make up the world. Humans matter more than anything, and we forget that also. And also that the thoughts that we have, and, you know, every single day we're spending 24 hours with thoughts in our heads. There's 60,000 thoughts a day that occur that are in our minds. And if we don't get that stuff out and we don't share it, and that stuff stays and it festers inside. And the more you don't share, the pop that balloon and share what's going on and exchange and support and mutually connect with other people, the more those thoughts get out of control and the more they actually work against you. And so we need to release, and we need to, like, that's one reason why community is so important. And also just that, you know, in our darkest moments of life to our best moments in life, we're never going to truly enjoy those moments without having the opportunity to share those moments, right? And whether it's support or celebration with community. So I think this forcing, again, one of the silver linings of all of this has to force you, or if you're not being forced right now to actually outreach and reconnect with, you know, obviously with the people you live with, but also those really dear friends and people in your workplace and doing that, then that's, it's definitely something you need to start prioritizing, because it's not good for your mental health to not be in community. So that's the first step, is just recognizing how important and significant it is for your well-being and for your potential and living.
Yeah, it is. It is absolutely important. And you said something too, that community is good for your well-being. You can't be well while also being completely isolated and completely alone. It's no matter who you are, introvert, extrovert, ambivert, you need people. You need your tribe. You need your community who will rally around you when things are good, when things are, you know, quote unquote, bad or indifferent. You need that. And one of the most powerful principles I've ever encountered was by you, when you speak of me for we. Now more than ever, we truly are seeing just how much we each are connected. Because one of the things that this pandemic has shown us is that it's not about your stature, your status, your income level. We truly are all connected. No matter what, we are connected. But now, what does it actually look like to build community from home? And then what are some of the steps that we can take as leaders to get activated in doing so?
Excellent question. So the first thing that I mentioned earlier, I believe in the last episode, was how this is an important time to actually work on yourself and build that internal foundational plan and assess the state of our values and do that personal growth work, that this is a good time for self-growth, self-development. So one piece of homework or one really important thing that I recommend doing at this time is actually first, before outreaching to a million people, is really stepping back and really defining who makes up your community and what do you want your community to be. And there's a powerful shift that happens there because we become the company that we keep.
Yes.
We don't realize that. And there's also, I've in one of my slides in my program, I share that, you are the sum of like the five people that you hang out with the most, right? It's, you don't realize how much, you learn and subconsciously, consciously, and characteristics and traits that you take on of other people. And so, you become the company you keep, and there's only so much time and so much bandwidth. So you do want to be strategic and thoughtful and intentional. I say you have to be proactive and intentional about defining and curating your community. And I think community also always has to be updated, like every year, every 6 months, or it's good to sort of check in on your, on like who makes up my community and curate that list a little bit. So there's three layers of community. And the first one I call is your core tribe. And your core tribe is, it could be one person, it could be five people, but it's the closest people in your life to you right now. And I know sometimes we have like that best friend from high school that will always be a best friend, but their life is very different than what your life looks like now. And maybe it's a friend that you've had for 6 months or just it's a recent friend or, but it's, yeah, it's basically like, one to five ish people that you can be fully transparent with, that know what's going on in your life inside out or externally. They know, like physically, they know what's happening in your life, and also internally, like you can be transparent with them and not worried that they're going to judge you, because we all have these like debilitating thoughts and unproductive, things that we do to ourselves. And so just sharing that space, and that's why people hire therapists, right? Or life coaches, so that they can actually pay somebody to be fully transparent, because we can't solve what we can't talk about. And so we got to get that, we got to have that immediate tribe that we trust. We're like, I'm not going to be judged. This person can hold space for me. And sometimes it's not a family member, right? Like, maybe it's, I feel like family members can be tricky because that's where like rules are just broken. Yes, they can. I love you, mom and brother. Love my brother and love my mom. But, but it's those where like the energy, if you share it with them, they're going to hold space and the energy is good. The energy, almost like you feel better afterwards. And then you do the same thing for them. So that's the core tribe that I feel like is pivotal, because you got to get that stuff out of you, or it's like weeds that grows inside. The second layer of community is what I call the larger tribe. And so the larger tribe is folks that you've had enough connection points with, whether it was like over, you've known them for a few years, you've had, coffee dates, or you've had deep conversation with them before, where you get a sense of their values. And, I would say like from a business perspective and running She Summit and She Global, I have a lot of people in my larger network like where we know each other well enough to know that I could have a deep, like, you're not necessarily somebody I don't know, but you're not like my super, super BFF, but I like you. And we have good energy together, and we're collaborative. There's mutual values and there's mutual synergy. I feel like those are that's sort of like your larger tribe. So it's like, who are those individuals that you truly enjoy and that you care about? Again, not necessarily your core best friend, but like you truly, like you love that, like you really like and enjoy that person and you know that there's like good stuff there, right? So, you know, maybe that, like sit down and go through, like here are all the sort of groups in my life where I live, you know, my church, like my kids' school, my, you know, and like write down those names that really pop up. And so now that becomes the larger tribe of folks that, you know, are worth your time to be intentional about reconnecting with or connecting with. It's so easy. It's so much easier to lose touch. It's so much easier to not reach out. And that's sort of the second piece on the how is subconsciously reaching out and like texting somebody or calling somebody or saying, hey, do you want to FaceTime or emailing somebody? That takes work. And for many, it actually, if you're introverted, it takes courage. It takes courage and it takes energy and it's so much easier to say no to it. That's why, like, that's another muscle. That's another leadership muscle because it's only through community where opportunities can truly grow. Like, we accelerate through collaboration and community. So anyway, so that's the other sort of piece. And then of course there are just now tactics that I can move into. But yeah, so like, but those are the four, like just, you know, to, like I'm sort of answering this question in three parts. So the first one is, you know, creating a plan and writing down who is your tribe, you know, like core, larger, you know, a network you probably don't need to write down, but like at least write down who your core and sort of tribe is that is worth you being intentional about connecting with. And the second thing is just to know innately, inherently, reaching out takes energy and it's just much easier to not do it. So you got to actually force, it's like going to the gym. You got to force yourself. It's like eating healthy. Got to be intentional.
Very much so, because it is so much easier to just say, I'd rather not. Like me this week in my yoga, I'd rather not. But I'm going to start back today because you just now reminded me I need to be intentional, because that is how I'm building community from home with my daughter. We're doing yoga together. I love that. Oh, I love it.
And I want to just say too that, you know, I always say when I preach all of my leadership exercises, it's like, Claudia, you're making me do so much. Like, oh gosh, you know, it's like, you're just adding more to my plate. But, and I've got tools around that, but it's like celebrating perfection and setting the intention gets you a lot farther than you end up doing more than you would have if you did not set the intention, but to embrace that every single day that you're doing your best. And sometimes if you do nothing or you do one thing that's productive, celebrate that. And that perfection is imperfection, and to be easy on yourself, because, and like what gets done every day is what's meant to get done. But so just to quickly wrap up on this very long-winded answer, this is what happens when I get into, you know, my training mode, all these lessons is, you know, some of the things that I've recently done in terms of outreach is I made a list of just, you know, folks, immediate folks that I just come to mind. And sometimes I just get an email from them or I see them on social media. I'm like, oh, like I just write their name down and I'm like, I want to reconnect with that person. And so for the core tribe or for certain people, I just FaceTime. I mean, I just text them. I'm like FaceTime in 5 minutes, FaceTime at 5 o'clock. It's spontaneous outreach, right? It's like, I need, it's 3 o'clock and I'm like, oh gosh, like I'm going stir crazy. Like I need to connect with somebody, right? So I might just hit up and text, or I might just literally FaceTime and call, you know, somebody in my network. And if they don't pick up, it's all good. I go to the next person. So there's the spontaneous outreach is something you could be doing right now. Number two is scheduling, scheduling Zoom calls or FaceTime or, you know, webinar calls. And for that, one tactic that I came up with was set aside community or social hours. So 2 weeks ago, I just did Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, our sort of midweek. I need it the most, like 4 to 5:30 p.m. I could fit in like maybe three community or like two or three community connection calls. And I created a Calendly, which is, you know, there's a free version of it where you could just literally write in, okay, you know, these 3 days a week, 30-minute call slots. And literally I'm just sending it to some people on my tribe list and just saying, hey, love to catch up. And like, let's just do a quick sync and reconnection time. And literally it's so easy because I just text it to them. I DM it to them. I email it to them. And then they just, I like all these calendar invites just pop up in my calendar. And it's like, I've got all these things, all these coffee dates now, you know, when you like, there's 100 people, like, yeah, we got to get coffee sometime. We gotta like catch up sometime. Let's have a call. And you never do it. This is the perfect time to be doing that. And to actually, because you reap what you sow. And you know, what we get out of relationships, you got to put in and then it's an effort. So those are just some of the tactics that are really practical, and to not be afraid to do it and just do it. Like worst case scenario, they're too busy and all good. You move on to the next person.
Exactly. And they too still remember the fact that you reached out, especially during this time. Because, you know, just like the tides, how it comes in and it also retracts, this time will not last forever. So you want to take advantage as much as you can to connect while you can, because it matters. None of us know, you know, how long, and I know it's not something people like to think about and it may seem a little bit morbid, but none of us know how long we've been gifted with time. Because it is a gift. We don't know how long or how big our gift is. So take advantage of the gift of now. Yeah. This is our present.
And absolutely. And what I love is I just love, you know, my work. I love just the potential of people and how extraordinary people are. And that, again, to remind you that human beings matter the most. And oftentimes I even feel like, you know, your friends become your family, because for me, I have a very, very small family. And, you know, I have an older brother, and my husband only has a sister, and we both just have one parent left living. And so we have a very small family. So like in so many ways, like my friends are my family, and that every meeting and every connection, every conversation is an opportunity to teach and to learn. And that's the other piece is sometimes I have a call on my calendar and I'm like, oh, I so want to work instead. I so don't want to take this call. And But then I get spiritual about it. And I'm like, nope, this call's on my calendar for a reason. And it could be the most random person. And I just think, oh, like I there should be more efficient ways I should be using my time, because I really should be focused on this. And the call, like there's always seeds that are planted, always something beautiful or an opportunity, or there's just so much magic that comes out of connecting with people. And we don't realize it, but and I love this analogy where it's like human beings are almost like sofas, where you look clean on the outside and everything looks so perfect. You know, we look at our social media photos and our family pictures online and, you know, your title and what you do for a living. And you just have this perfection or this image of somebody where, you know, like behind the scenes is not sort of like gnarly as what yours looks like, but so the couch looks clean. And then of course, like what's underneath the couch is like a total mess, right? Like it's imperfection. It's being human. And so we just forget that. I feel like we all have these external surfaces that prevent us from connection. And so, you know, reaching out and sort of digging deep and when you are open and you are sharing your imperfection and you're sharing like what you're challenged with, it gives the other person the permission to do the same thing. And then before you know it, you're having a really authentic conversation. And that's where the really good stuff, like that's where inclusivity comes in, and the really good stuff, the opportunity, the innovation, the collaboration, the magic, that's where the magic happens.
Absolutely. When I say absolutely, like there really is such magic there. Like you can feel it
you and I are a great, you know, example, because we met through She Summit last year, where you reached out to me and you've been following my work for some time. But there was something about the way that you wrote the email, because I get, especially around conference time, I get like thousands of pitches and people that want to participate or be involved. But there was something that I connected with you. And then when we first spoke, you told me your story. Like you immediately got transparent about, you know, your journey, and there was just something so real about you. And then I know you did get involved in the conference. Yeah. But there was just something that always just really resonated with you and I. And I just think that there's like, again, there's so many people that can come through our lives, but for some people, you know, there is just that connection. And that, to me, that's spiritual. Like that's God. And, you know, you never know what's out there. There's so much like this is like a spiritual, magical connection. And we're like missing out on that if we're not having the courage. Like you're so missing. For those of you who are listening and your calendar isn't full with connection time with other people, and you know, you're that person that tends to just say, I'll cancel the call. And, you know, and I was going to text her and call her, but like, forget it. You know, like you're missing out on life. You're missing out on the beauty and all these great opportunities that could happen through those connections.
Absolutely. And we don't want you to miss out. Like it's okay to, you know, raise your hand to say, you know what, I am going to connect. I am going to take the time, because redefining leadership, it really does. It empowers, you know, it empowers so many to raise their hand, but not only to lead, but also it empowers them to raise their hand to their destiny. But there is a vast difference in how men and women build community. And it does, like we were saying, take courage to put yourself out there. And for men, that can be even more challenging, especially when you're dealing with like traditional gender roles. So how can men build community as well? Because women, we will hop on the phone, talk for hours. We will, you know, go to a retreat with just us to really, you know, dive into the things that matter and that we need to lead and where we need to lead from. But for men, that can be different. So how do they build community as well?
I'm so glad that we're talking about men, because I'm more actually concerned about men right now with everybody working from home than women, because men really struggle with mental health, and the highest suicide rates in the U.S. are found in Caucasian men. And the anxiety and the overwhelm and the depression rates are really, really high. And I think a lot of that is, you know, historically, women have always had the permission to be vulnerable, you know, girls' night outs. And, you know, we've always taken the opportunity when we connect to share and to connect and it's more natural it's more of a feminine trait to be open. And I mean, those are feminine skills, right? It's like vulnerability, empathy, compassion, openness versus masculine traits. And so, you know, men have always in many ways been taught to, you know, you need to provide your identity, you need to protect. And men have also historically been raised with this context of like, you're more disposable than women are. And, you know, and showing vulnerability and talking about what stresses you out or your fears is not considered masculine, and it's considered weakness. And so there's like so much conversation and research around that, right? So I think that right now, in a time where everybody is at home and it's definitely adapting to a new norm, but I think inherently men are already very isolated. Even if they're out and about a lot and they go to work every day and you're not working from home, like I think just men in general, like mentally, they're already very isolated. Because, and it blows my mind even just watching like my brother or like my husband, or just like seeing other buddies, guy buddies of mine, and just, I'm always trying to crack them open and like get under the surface, right? And I think like my husband's like definitely so much, he like enjoys talking to women more than men in terms of just like he can share more openly. So I think that this is where, if we are women listening to this, and like to be actually to recognize that about the men in our lives, that they don't necessarily have the permission and to be open and be vulnerable, and that really mentally, like even if they are they making the time to connect with their buddies, and do they have a forum to really be open? I think sometimes you just find that actually in a sibling where like, or a spouse where like you're almost overwhelming that one person like with all of your stuff because you have nobody else to share it with. I think a lot of my girlfriends feel that way, who are like married to men, and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm the only person that he can speak to. And I'm like he needs to have another outlet.
He needs community.
Yeah, he needs community. Thank you for bringing me back to community. So yeah, so this is, it's just something to be aware of. So I'm really glad that we're bringing this up, and that we need to have compassion and empathy and create space for men and encourage men. And then there are forums out there too. Like there are websites, and to encourage our men to make the first move, you know, to reach out to that buddy and share.
Yeah, I think too, and you said it when we first spoke, how I was willing to be vulnerable. I do believe with men that in order to shift things is they're going to have to give themselves permission to be vulnerable with each other. And it's not, you know, calling them out of their name, saying, oh, you're not strong, or you're not this, or you're not that. It's a thanks for being, you know, open enough and trusting me enough to be vulnerable. Because I think one of the things that we've made a misstep in when we are raising our boys is we tell them, you know, boys don't cry. And I think that's one of the worst things that you can tell a young man, because he's a human.
That's right. We're all humans at the end of the day, especially also too with the, with, you know, changing gender norms, and that you know, gender is not being identified anymore, right? Like our young generation, there's a huge transgender population, and, you know, with, you know, kids in high school and in school. So it starts at a young age, and like gender identity, and yeah, it's, at the end of the day, it's about being human.
Yeah. End of the day, we are all human. And as a human, you can feel. It is better if you feel and acknowledge those feelings than to not, because then, like you were saying earlier, they fester.
And in fact, I was listening to a podcast the other day around family, and there were two psychologists that were talking about how the research that they've done, where when you're young, when you're a child and you have feelings, or something happens to you where those feelings were not resolved. And if anything, it was like, nope, don't cry. Like where that emotion is cut off, like you don't have the permission to feel and to resolve like what it is that happened to you. Like maybe your parents got a divorce, maybe your heart was broken, maybe anything, right? Any event, but there wasn't a reconciliation with those feelings. That's the stuff that was cut off, that stays with you throughout your life and continues to show up. So it's usually like feelings or emotions that just never got addressed, and it was never healed. So we got to talk about it to heal it. And we all know today, every single human being, like our internal self-talk and our triggers and the areas where we need personal growth work, where we're defensive, we have anxiety, like all those things are rooted in something that happened to us when we were children or something from our past, right? So it's basically a trauma. It's a trauma.
Yeah. And community, especially when you're intentional about the types of communities that you're building, it really does help to heal those traumas. Because just like you said, take a look around at those five people that you're most around or who are in your community. It's who you become and or who you are.
And I want to also just say too, that if you're also somebody that doesn't have that core tribe, like, so I guess the message here to women is around men is that like for during this time of coronavirus and working and being home, is be aware that the men and the boys in your family or in your life, like just be cognizant that it might be even harder for men in their mental health right now. And just be cognizant of that. And I think the message for men who are listening is know that, you know, and some, again, every person is different, but if you relate to this message is, and what can you do about this, is I think be courageous and reach out to other men or reach out to a therapist or reach out to somebody that you can actually open up all that stuff inside of you with, because that stuff is just going to fester. It's going to work against you if you keep on containing it in. So that's just the other piece of advice. And then the last piece is that, you know, I'm a huge fan of therapists or a coach or somebody you're actually paying money to help you. So there was a period where like John and I, depending on our season of marriage, where like we were just going through a really rough season of marriage. And I'm like, we need to like see a marriage counselor immediately. And like, that's just something that, you know, or like if it's something that I worked on, you know, like if there's something I'm going through where, you know what, I just need to like an accountability partner once a week, 1 hour, and I need that in my schedule. And so like, and there's some containers, if you don't have that person you could be fully honest with, and you're more comfortable talking to somebody that is a stranger and that's trained in this work, but you have to pop that bubble. You can't let that stuff stay in you. You need that community. All of it is community.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you already know, I always ask you at the end of each podcast episode, what have been or what is one of your greatest leadership principles, because you have led so very well and led so many others. I really want to make sure that we're tapping into and getting some good gems that we can kind of take with us as our little nuggets throughout the week. So what have been one of your greatest leadership principles or even quotes that you live by?
You know, I think for the purpose of this episode and the community theme, and just to reiterate, if I were to, for you to just walk away around, you know, just knowing that community is pivotal for you to thrive and for you to realize and unleash your potential. And the most extraordinary experience of your life is experienced through community. And that the three takeaways are, you know, one is that you become the community you keep. So be really intentional and take the time. This is a good time to to really like write down and list out your community and what does it comprise of. And two is it requires being proactive and intentional, and that, you know, and that three, it takes courage. So, you know, make the first move, be the person that speaks up, you know. And just the other day, my preschool where my kids go, I felt like the teachers were taking a long time to sort of like connect with the parents on what homeschooling would look like. And there's about 10 kids in my 4-year-old's class, 10 parents and kids. And I just felt like somebody needed to say something about how the school was engaging all of us. And it was so interesting how me, Claudia, like the leadership expert, is feeling self-conscious about emailing all like my 4-year-old's moms, right? And being like the black sheep that sort of stands out and makes trouble, and to have to like, because it's so easy to be silent. It's so easy to stay quiet, you know, and it takes more courage to speak up. And so anyway, so just wanted to share, like, I mean, we're all human, and that it requires courage. But on the other side of courage is all the magic that comes out of those connections that you're going to make. So I know that is more of a recap of, you know, of versus like one necessary quote, but I just, you know, I know we said a lot of really powerful things in this conversation today around community building amid COVID-19. And just really, this is relevant in any season and any time of life, but I felt like those are the most critical pieces that I like. Community is pivotal. And it's why we're here. Human beings matter the most. We're meant to do life not alone, but with others. And that's where our great stuff comes out.
Absolutely. Because it's only through community that opportunities truly grow. And so make sure you are joining us on the next episode, because we are going to be growing, exploring, and developing our extraordinary life. And we are leading with impact.